It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. The Drive continues on. Closing time. Everybody gets to go home now. Well, some people do. Wrapping up the day. This Top 5 at 5 brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Head up I-75. Get yourself some good old barbecue. Smoked chicken. Get some wings. Right there. It's located in Cave Cove Park. Go up there and get you some. It's good. Best barbecue in the area. I promise you that. For the Top 5 at 5, let's go to the Bears Den studio. Get it from Bear. Hello.
Hello. Number one, there will be no new deal for Dak. Prescott will be playing the 2020 season for the Cowboys under a franchise tag. He will be making $31.4 million. He signed his franchise tender 3 weeks ago. In theory, you're creating a path toward a long-term deadline deal by Wednesday, but the path never cleared.
It's kind of interesting for old Dak. Was that smart by him not to get a deal done? Was it smarter? Will he make more money next year by not doing it?
He's just betting on himself.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be the highest paid Cowboy ever for a single season, but I mean, it just kicks the can on down the road. They can turn right back around and sign him, franchise him again next year, where they will owe him $37.7 million for the 21 season. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
$37 million. Okay. Wow. That's going to be crazy. They're going to have to pay him and, oh, man, Mike McCarthy better get something done there in Dallas with Dak this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two, Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans have reached an agreement on a four-year, $50 million deal that includes $25.5 million guaranteed. The Titans have announced the deal is official, but have not included all the terms.
Yeah.
He will become the NFL's fifth highest paid running back.
Yeah, an average salary, $12.5 million a year.
Behind McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, and David Johnson from the Texans.
Yeah, he's still under that Arizona contract.
Wow.
I thought the Titans got I'm not huge on paying running backs, but I thought this was a fairly good deal in favor of the Titans, and Derek was able to get some money. So I think it worked out well for both parties. We'll see. I don't think they got that difficult of a run defense that they're facing this year. They're essentially returning all but one offensive lineman, and they're replacing him with a guy who started a lot of games last year. So it should be that same offense you saw last year. Hopefully they can keep it running, and the Titans just continue to put it on, get back into the playoffs, and see if they can make another deep run.
All right. Number three, Washington Mystics Elena Del Don said Wednesday that she has apparently been denied her request to be medically exempt this season. Apparently the WNBA is having a corona-shortened 22-game regular season. Her medical exemption has been denied. She apparently suffers from Lyme disease and is apparently, if you opt to sit out in the WNBA after the board has denied your request, you will do so without pay.
Yeah, apparently the CDC does not list Lyme disease as an issue to make COVID any worse.
Yeah, that's kind of strange since Lyme disease is considered an autoimmune disease. And she also apparently takes 64 medications a day. Which I cannot imagine taking 64 different pills a day.
Might as well have like a Pez dispenser. You just go to every hour.
Yeah, I mean, golly. Some people have gotten this. Some of the ladies have gotten the exemption. They're scheduled to restart their season or start their season July 25th at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida.
So they're doing the same thing as the NBA. They're just doing it at IMG.
Right. Yeah. All right. Number four, We've got the 2020 Memorial Tournament is set to start tomorrow. Got some heavyweight pairings for the first round. Tiger Woods will make his return to regular PGA Tour, and bettors are going hard with Tiger.
Would Rory be the other guy to go tomorrow? It's a Memorial?
Yes. Some of the big groupings go out 117 tomorrow. Rory, Tiger, and Brooks Koepka. That'd be a pretty good group to follow.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to that one. Is old boy who won last week playing? Big jacked up dude? No, the week before. Oh, I'm sorry.
Byron DeChambeau?
Yeah.
Yes. I think most everybody's playing this one.
Okay. I look forward to it. Memorial, a PGA tournament. It starts tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Starts tomorrow.
It's in the morning, Mark Muirfield.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All right. Saturday. That's good. Number five.
And number five, we have a problem in an Oakland neighborhood.
Oh, God.
A feral peacock has divided an Oakland neighborhood.
Dang it.
We got a short cul-de-sac in a North Oakland neighborhood. An unusual blue and green feathered neighbor has recently moved into someone's yard. His name is Bruce or Paco or Peter or Pierre or Abraham, depending on who in the neighborhood you ask. Everybody's name is damn bird. Apparently, it's difficult to settle on a name for the neighborhood peacock. Most of the neighbors are big fans of it. But apparently, this thing screams relentlessly every day. I mean, people are moving their bedrooms because they get woken up at 4, 5, or 6 a.m., you know, to what is described as, yeah, have you guys ever heard a peacock scream?
I have, actually, one time. Yes.
It's blood-curdling.
Yes. You think somebody's literally getting axe murdered.
Yeah. So right now they're in a huge fight out there. I hope they would just take this bird and take it to a zoo, but apparently he rolls around the neighborhood. I mean, you got half the neighbors are sending messages of peacock support, and are at odds with the people who just want to get some sleep.
What does a peacock support group look like?
Probably a bunch of granola-eating, Birkenstock-wearing PETA people. I'm telling you, man, I wouldn't deal well with a peacock screaming at 4 in the morning.
No, there'd be a 12-gauge shotgun that peacock be flying feathers. I'm sorry.
I've never really liked it. I'm a huge animal lover. I draw the line of peacocks.
I don't even like the Peacock Network. Just because of the peacock. And now I can't get the word peacock out of my head.
I'm sorry about that, but that's your top five of five.
Brought to you by Rick and Ridge Barbecue. Appreciate them always bringing aboard. Great barbecue. Go check them out. Right up I-75 on the way to Lexington. Get up there and grab you some good old barbecue. Tell them we told you to stop by. Let's go to the phone lines. Phila joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Gitmo. How are you?
What's up, Trey?
Not much, buddy. What's you up to?
How you bearing, Davey doing?
Yeah, we're good, man. Can't complain.
Doing swell.
I want to get back to what Davey said earlier in the day about a rat boy, and now Davey thinks they are bending the rules a little bit, but everybody else is too. That's what you said, Sport?
Philly, I've never said they weren't cheating. I've been on the hill of, all right, if you're getting five stars. Everyone who's getting a five star is cheating. I've been on that hill for a long time. I just said Duke's smarter about how they go about doing it, since there's never been actually any evidence to convict them of cheating by the NCAA. No one's really put forth anything that's been incriminating or been able to stick. That's what I've said. You look at John Calipari, his past two stops before he got to Kentucky, he's been in trouble. Those schools got screwed over.
But Kentucky's already in place when he got to Kentucky, so there's no way.
Yeah,
Kentucky's gonna get caught. I mean, that was bogus. That thing that happened at the FedEx with Dwayne Casey and all that kind of stuff. That seemed like a setup to me. But, Dave, you made another good point in the first hour of this show. I have to agree with you. As long as Getmo's quarterback, I know dang well we're going 10-2.
Yeah, unless he just absolutely is a completely different player. But, I mean, after 4 years, you seldom ever get that. I mean, it'd be one thing if we saw another new offensive coordinator. But I mean, Chaney had last year to work with him, and some of those mistakes, I don't really know if those are coachable moments. It's some players just have it or they don't, and there's only so much a coach can do. And from what I saw, it's just his decision making in the moment. And I don't know how you really coach some of that out of a player. That's either they got it or they don't, in my opinion.
Traded that guest you have in Florida. Did he compare Jeremy Pruitt to Will Muschamp on your interview?
Yeah, but not in like a coaching manner. A manner of Nick was talking about, kind of like as a DC taking over a program and then having people behind him try to help lead the way, pretty much, because there's different.
Yeah.
I think you would agree with me. The first year Jeremy Pruitt was here, he tried to be I don't know if CEO is the best word for it, but he tried to do so many different things at one time right when he got on campus, from changing a facility to, you know, the weight rooms. I mean, everything you have to do as a new head coach.
But he had to learn.
But he had to learn how to delegate some things.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that with Tyson Helton. Him and Tyson Helton just butted heads all the time because Pruitt thought he should do one thing. Helton, being an offensive mind, thought he should do another. So it never really worked out. But now he can trust Ansley. He trusts Chaney.
Yeah.
You know, and he's able to coach wherever he's need to coach. And that's, and I think that's a look, Will Muschamp record at South Carolina, it is what it is. His record at Florida, it is what it is. But does the comparison make sense? Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And just as much it would make sense for Kirby. In the same way Kirby does it.
Yeah. Well, Kirby's very similar to Bear's favorite coach that was at Tennessee. They inherited favorable situations when they took over. And as much as we don't like it, even though Georgia's underachieved, Kirby Smart has done more in his first 4 years at Georgia than the Fulmer did in his first 4 years at Tennessee. Not only that, since we won an SEC championship, Georgia's won three. So, really, I'd like to be underachieving like that, wouldn't you?
I think anybody would rather be underachieving like that.
Exactly. Instead of being a pile of garbage is what we've been for 15 years.
Yeah, but the opinion on Jared Garantano, man, that he takes a lot of flack for some things that are out of his control. I mean, yeah, you could say he hangs on to the ball for a minute too longer. Okay, that's fine.
I think you could say that about almost all quarterbacks.
You could say that about all damn quarterbacks. Jared Garantano, and this is not a takeoff for Jared Day, but this is also a put the facts out there for Jared Day. Jared had four offensive coordinators in 4 years.
Yeah.
He's thankfully getting his one back. He was never going to live up to the five-star standard that was set for him in that video that he did in Times Square with Bleacher Report. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But you also got to realize right now, at this moment, the best Tennessee quarterback on campus is Garantano. I'm not talking.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I'm not saying Harrison Bailey is not good and going to be the best quarterback one day, or that Caden Salter, when he comes in January, maybe doesn't just turn heads with everything he does. But the only quarterback on that damn campus that's good enough to lead Tennessee out there on the field against Charlotte, then against Oklahoma, and then against Florida is Jared Garantano. Harrison Bailey ain't doing it right now, man. The guy had to take a snap in practice. He took one. It was in handoff drills. He hasn't done anything. This is the first week. Think about this, Phil. This is the first week Harrison Bailey can actually sit down and review film with Jim Chaney, and the kid's been here since January.
Well, it's going to, you know, I think getting on play, he'll be our quarterback. I mean, because there's no way Bailey can be ready to play.
And if
there's
you get a good running game where you're popping off 150 to 170 a game, try to get back to Tennessee standards of what they did, use the tight end a little bit more, you're going to have wide receivers. I don't see why Tennessee can't go 9-3 this year.
I'm still concerned about the offensive line. I know on paper they look great, but if we're just going off of last year, granted we're still waiting on Caden Mace to be eligible, but returning those four guys that you're expecting, they were 13th in the SEC based off Pro Football Focus ratings. And that doesn't just take the line in as a unit. That takes in each individual player and how they do on a play. So it's not like, oh, my guy to my right's doing really bad, so that's going to reflect negatively on me. That's not how those grades are done. So it's like there's still a long way for that offensive line to go. And I know everyone's ready to crown Eric Gray the next great back at Tennessee. And there's a chance he might be.
He did get put on the Doak Walker Award list today.
That did happen today. But you got to remember, 17% of his rushing yards came in one game. Yeah. And then on that, one was a 94-yard run.
But if Tennessee doesn't have Eric Gray, I'm going to say they don't win two out of their final five games, and they definitely don't beat Indiana in the bowl game.
Wow. Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, his games have been against bad teams. So it's like, that's the thing. It's like, we got to look at these good teams. Like, Vanderbilt was one of the worst teams in the country last year.
Yeah, but Eric Gray wasn't even seeing snaps in the Florida game or the Alabama game.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
It was Tim Jordan and Ty Chandler.
That's why I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying he hasn't proved it against anyone that's any good.
Hmm. Guys, one more thing. You know, as much abuse that JG's had in football,
yeah.
I remember a former Tennessee basketball player who suffered similar abuse, and that was Scotty Hobson. And who ended up being a better player? Scotty Hobson.
How the hell are you comparing?
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. See?
Philly, Barrett, wait a minute. How the hell are you comparing a football player and a basketball player?
Wait, I looked up and somebody's trying to get my attention. Who did he compare Scotty to?
Jerry Garantano.
Yeah, I'm not with you on that one, Philly.
I mean, excuse me. Would it be a better comparison to put Robert Hubbs, compare him to Jerry Garantano?
No, probably not. I mean, Hubs unfortunately had a lot of, I mean, he was just injury prone. He couldn't stay out of the training room. I do think they were both not overrated in the sense that, you know, normal sense, but they were definitely, I think looking back on it, Garantano probably.
Yeah.
Probably not a five-star coming out of high school. Yeah, it's not like he was playing down in Texas against the best competition in the country, the way Caden Salter is. But, you know.
We'll find out.
And maybe Robert Hubbs would be a better analogy than Scotty.
I thought Robert Hubbs would. Big Josh, call back if you want to, man. Hated it. Miss you. Something neat. Kyle Busch was just asked Bear, how about running the All-Star race at the Nashville Fairgrounds next season? Kyle Busch said, "Let's do it."
Yeah, I don't think that they're neat. Yeah, it would, but they're just not set up to.
I know.
It's not ready for prime time up there.
Yeah, I know. It's just sad. Whatever. It is what it is. Okay, so I guess we're gonna do Jam or No Jam next. That's coming up, Bear. We'll get this thing knocked out, see where your musical taste is today on this Wednesday, and then we'll come back, talk a little bit more about the SEC East and everything else. This is Drive Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along here, 5:22. Everybody be safe driving home, especially in Knoxville where you have a pothole every half mile. One thing I'm still trying to get used to in this town.
What road are you taking?
So most of the time I'm on Kings and Pike every day. And sometimes I take the back way and go Middlebrook all the way till you take a right, like right here next to the station.
Like I feel like Tennessee does a really good job, honestly, as far as maintaining the roads go. Occasionally there are a couple of roads where I've come to be like, yeah, they got to get this fixed, and then not too long after the fact, they'll typically get out there and at least patch it up. But I don't know, driving through a lot of other states, like I'm.
No, when you drive through Georgia or Alabama, Tennessee does a heck of a job. So, no, it is what it is. Bear, your buddy Tanner Carson's in the house.
All right, let's get it started. Are you ready?
In 1 second, I will be, Bear.
All right.
He's got a little bringing smart aleck tone to him today.
No, I don't, actually.
He's fired up.
Are you trying to get me?
He's fired up for COVID.
You trying to get me in the mood today, Trey?
You're about to talk COVID for 2 hours. You're fired up. Yeah, I know. No, I'm looking forward to this, and he already knows Tony V's coming on tomorrow, so mm-hmm. Those should be interesting choices for jam or no jam.
I'm going to play him nothing but Nickelback.
Let's not do that.
Just play bands that are looking around Nickelback.
Celine Dion.
You could play
My
Whitney
Heart
Houston.
Will Go On is an absolute banger.
No, it's not. Whitney Houston, Trump, Celine Dion, any day of the week, twice
okay,
on
that's,
Sunday.
That's not the question, Trey. He just said, I got some Celine Dion, and I go, My Heart Will Go On is a banger.
I hate that darn song.
And then you
song.
Go, no, it's not. That's Whitney Houston, just out of nowhere.
Stupid song.
I agree. Whitney
Titanic.
Houston's a very good performer. She has an incredible voice.
And she's there because she's American anyway, and Celine Dion's Canadian. So.
It was just a bad song in the Titanic. It was just bad. Have y'all watched the ending of that? Like the ending they didn't ever show?
What do you mean?
Where she had the diamond?
Yeah, I've seen the ending of Titanic.
No. You DA. The alternate ending that never got shown, like on DVD. It's on YouTube.
No, is it on DVD? Are you basically admitting to us that you own Titanic on DVD?
No, right? Dude. It's not on the DVD or anything.
Wasn't the VHS like two actual tapes? Like it was that long
yeah,
of a movie?
They shot it. Yeah. So they shot an alternate ending with Bill Paxton being able to see the diamond and hold it in his hand, and then Rose throwing it off the ship afterwards. There's an alternate ending out there.
Rose should have died. She's selfish as hell. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm just saying go look it up. It's kind of neat. I did not know there was an alternate ending until I found it one day. So, whatever.
I have the songs ready.
Yeah, let's jam it or no jam.
Please go.
No, Celine Dion, I promise. All right, here comes song number one, this edition of Jam or Not a Jam.
Our lives have come between us. Damn it, this is good. So I know
you wait for the chorus.
Nice, said. My question is, who is Tiffany? And why would the girl want to go to Tiffany's with the dude?
It's the name of a movie, Trey.
Oh.
Old
yeah,
movie.
Audrey Hepburn. Also, Tiffany's is the jewelry store in Manhattan.
New York City.
I've been there. It's very, very bougie. Very bougie Tiffany's, place.
She said, I think I...
Remember the film, in the film, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, it makes sense now. I thought they were talking... Okay, I ain't going to go there. Davey?
I'm up first. All right. Not a jam, in my opinion. I've never been big on that song. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't do it for me, so I'm putting in my vote for not a jam.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with a jam here. It's a catchy tune. You got a good beat.
Yes.
I can't remember off the top of my head the name of the band, but...
There's probably a reason for that. That was a one-hit wonder. The name of the band is Deep Blue Something. That's
Deep Blue Something.
That's their band name, yeah.
Deep Blue Something. Well, they're a jam in my book. I wonder if they're still touring with that one song.
Highly doubtful.
I doubt it.
You don't think they're opening up for somebody at some coffee shop or something?
No, they're probably working real jobs now.
Play that
song.
The
guys at Marcy Playground are still touring and still having to play Sex and Candy.
Oh, that'd be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, sorry, the band's not real happy about it.
Deep Blue Something was active from 1991 to 2001. Then they had a pretty big break, and then they started back up in 2014. And it says they are still currently active.
Thank you.
Probably doing the fair circuit.
Probably.
Yeah, they'd be at the Tennessee Valley Fair if it would have been on this year. All right. Well, Breakfast at Tiffany's gets a jam with Davey dissenting. Here comes song two. Trey, you mentioned this band the other day.
Knows, All right, Davey.
I love One Republic, but this is not a jam.
Damn
yeah,
you!
I, like, One Republic's one of
what
my favorite bands, but I never was a big fan of All the Right Moves. I don't know. Just not
the
a jam.
The harmony of it and the musical elements to that song.
It's a good song, but it's not a jam.
Mm.
Bear.
What a shocker from Davey.
I know.
Bear. Hot garbage.
It's not hot garbage.
That's not a shocker from Bear.
That is a jam.
That is absolutely 100% hot garbage.
That's a jam. I love it. I love the riffs. Reminds me of Imagine Dragons, which also is a great band.
I don't know about that.
KMA.
What's the name of this band?
One Republic.
One Republic.
Yeah, Ryan Tedder's the lead singer.
God, he's a multi-millionaire because he's a producer, too. Big time producer.
Okay.
Either way, All the Right Moves, One Republic. That gets a not a jam trade, Ascenting. Davey with a shocker.
I'm 0 for 2 right
now. Not a jamming on One Republic. Anyway, here comes song number 3.
I don't know if it's just the mood I'm in today, not a jam.
Oh!
What? Get the hell out of here, Hudson! Crap all over the Kinks? That is bona fide jam. From way back.
1964.
I don't know why we had it in here. Russ would be getting all over you right now.
I like Span of the Decades.
It was such an obvious jam that. I don't know. Wow.
That's a big pile of campground crap. Not a jam.
Okay.
How do you get down to that song? How do you jam out to that song?
It's one of the greatest songs ever written in rock and roll history.
Just because it's
really?
The original British
really?
Invasion.
Wait, what? Bear. Just because it's in every damn commercial that you see on television doesn't make it a good song.
It's the freaking Kinks. It was one of the big hits of the first British invasion.
I was either going to include that song or Lola, but then we would have had to have the discussion about what Lola was about.
I respect Bear's musical taste. I just don't think that's a jam at all.
Anyway, okay. All Day and All the Night by the Kinks. Not a jam. Bear dissents on that one. Got a whole lot of disagreement going on today.
I know.
All righty. Song number 4.
Bear, if you can name me the movie this was in, I will give you $20. I'll send it to you Venmo right now.
I don't know that I've heard this song.
You've heard this
Surely
song.
You've heard the song.
Nah, I couldn't tell you who that is.
That's Leanne Rimes. But it was in a movie with scantily clad women.
And John Goodman.
And alcohol. And John Goodman. And there was karaoke involved. I'm trying to give you $20, it seems like.
Karaoke involved. John Goodman.
It's got a famous name.
Don't you?
That's what I'm saying.
That's it.
I mean, I can give him the name of the lead actress in the movie. You still wouldn't get it.
You know she was in that movie, Angel Has Fallen? The new... She was the wife. She was the wife.
But they changed it out. It's Piper Perabo, I believe how you pronounce it. Piper Perabo, I believe is her name.
She plays the lead.
Who does?
Piper Perabo.
Piper. She was the wife in the new Olympus Has Fallen movie, Angel Has Fallen.
I'm wondering if he's Googling it right now.
I have no idea.
Okay, damn, it was Coyote Ugly.
I'm going to give the...
Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like early 2000s.
Don't act like you don't know what Coyote Ugly is.
Nah, there was no way it's 99. But yeah, early 2000s.
I think it was 2000 exactly, David.
Okay.
I'm not talking about even seeing the movie. You know what Coyote Ugly is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we're talking about the movie.
I know
there was a bar on Clinton Highway called Coyote Ugly.
Either way, Leanne Rimes, is it jam or not jam, fellas?
It's a jam. I'll give Can't Fight the Moonlight jam.
It's
actually, I kind of liked it. It was, you know. Good song.
Whew, okay.
Okay. Yeah, that was a jam.
There we go.
Wow, didn't see that one coming.
Unanimous jam for Leanne Rimes. Okay. Been the biz a long time. She's only 37 because she started when she was like,
she's only 37?
Like, yeah, she was like 15 when she hit it big.
When she recorded Blue, she was like 12 or 13.
Good Lord, I feel old.
With a voice like Patsy Cline, yeah.
She's been around.
Didn't she bust up somebody's marriage? She's a homewrecker.
That was Miranda Lambert.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know anything bad about Leanne Rimes.
I didn't mean to just call out Miranda Lambert.
She's just an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah. All right, well, I did not think we would have unanimous jam for Leanne Rimes, but here we are. And here we are for the final song for the day, fellas. Here it goes. Okay.
Davey.
Jam.
Bear, who is this?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nope, this is the original.
Really?
Yeah, this is the...
Is it Ohio Players?
It's the Ohio Players.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, but I wanted to look it up before I locked in my vote and sounded like an idiot. But yeah, it was like 1975.
Is that a jam, Bear?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll give that a jam as well. It's got a little ring to it. Makes it a little interesting to me. Give it a jam.
Back-to-back unanimous jams. I thought about doing the Red Hot Chili Peppers cover from the Beavis and Butthead movie, but we've already done Red Hot Chili Peppers on this game before.
Give it away now. Give it away.
I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers cover's better. But that one's pretty good, though.
I did not expect Leanne Rimes to get talked about today. Whew. That was something that was not on the list.
Tanner, I'll be on the show tomorrow if that affects how you come up with the songs. Okay. Just to give you a heads up.
Okay.
Bear, that was good, man. Good jam or no jam today.
We ended on a high note, you know, with the two unanimous there at the end. So I think it's good for us to come together right before we come to a disagreement on talking how the Vols are going to go 8-4. Here in a bit, so
well, you can just kiss my rear end on that. But no, I agree. And then tomorrow with Tony V going to be in, I'm interested to see what the musical taste is going to be like tomorrow. That one should be interesting. But we'll see. Tonight, don't forget, if you're into it, this is weird. Bear, why is Rex Chapman in the pre-race feature for Fox All-Star Race tonight?
I'm not sure, other than that he seems to be everybody's favorite follow on Twitter right
because
now.
Because
he just steals
everything.
Yeah, God, like, I mean, I could do that. Like, that's not hard. Oh, I like this. All right, I'm just going to steal it and pass it off as my own.
Honestly, surprised.
Well, yeah, but the problem is that, yeah, it's the same thing that people used to say about a lot of different things. You know, like about Motley Crue. I've heard people say it about Oasis. I've heard people say it about this and that. If it's damn easy, why don't you do it and make $1 million and become a star?
Well, I'm not a former basketball player that's got a household name. Like,
I mean, I can't stand him just simply from the Kentucky end of it, but, I mean, it's kind of hard to slag on the guy.
I mean, well, no, it's not. Not if he's plagiarizing the entire time. Like, if you plagiarize, like, I can slam on you for plagiarizing. That doesn't impact what I thought of your basketball career.
What did he plagiarize?
He just steals it from other people whenever he's tweeting stuff out. I don't know if the guy's ever hit the retweet button. He just goes, screen records it, takes it, then tweets it out under his own account.
All right. I'm not all that into it. I didn't realize that he was, you weren't supposed to do that. I'm not aware of all the ins and outs of the Twitter rules.
Bear, it is 5:30, okay? The races don't start until 7:15, and I'm already seeing people of pictures in the stands at Bristol. Are
they socially distance in the stands?
Yeah, it looks like it. It really, it's not a lot of people, but you can tell like they're, yeah, I'll send you the picture.
Jason informs me that Leanne Rimes and her current husband were both married when they got together, so I guess that goes against my Leanne Rimes can do no wrong take.
Home wrecker?
Yeah, she's a home wrecker, dude.
Well, they both were home wreckers, and it just kind of worked out for them.
You know,
Maybe the other spouses then got together.
I was about to hate on Garth for a minute. I didn't know if I should.
I don't know.
You know, Garth was a homie.
Eddie Cibrian.
Who?
That's her husband's name, right? Eddie Cibrian.
We still talking about Leanne Rimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think Garth was a homewrecker with Trisha.
Yeah, technically.
Kinda. Not, yeah. Yeah, there are a good amount of people outside of the Bristol Speedway right now. I'm sitting here looking at it. It will be interesting to see what the stands look like. Because I don't think they can control how many people are outside of the stadium. I think it's about – I just want to see a fight tonight.
It's a pretty wide-open venue around Bristol. I mean, like, you want to talk about walking for some tailgating.
You remember when Ward Burton went up there and waited on old boy? At Bristol Speedway?
Oh, and he got who was it he was pissed at?
I think it was Tony, wasn't it?
Is that when he threw his helmet? No.
I'm sitting here watching.
Jeff Gordon and Matt Kenseth get into it at Bristol not too long ago? Well, probably about 8 or 9 years now.
Yeah.
But.
I was actually in the pits for the Ricky Rudd, Kevin Harvick dust up. There is one video. I'll try and find it on YouTube.
No, it was Dale Jr. I'm sorry. Yeah.
If it's still on there, where you can hear me screaming, hit him, Kevin, hit him, when they're all clinched up. I'm claiming the same. I'm, you know, trying to pour gasoline on the fire and get Ricky Rudd and Kevin Harvick in a, you know, full-on fist fight.
So. They've also got a Confederate flag flying above the stadium right now with an airplane, which is funny, I guess. Somebody trying to waste money.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of, I mean, how much, I wonder how much that costs.
I don't know, probably got
to
be a good
just
amount.
To be a dip dunk like that.
Probably got
to
be a
I
good
thought
way.
You were saying it was flying, like.
No, they've got an airplane tailing it, whatever you want to call it.
Huh.
Everybody's getting hacked on Twitter.
Yeah.
Are you seeing
that.
This?
Yeah, my sister got hacked and actually, like, she sent me and, like, 49 other people, like, a DM to, like, buy
Bitcoin.
Money from Bitcoin, yeah.
Everybody's getting hacked right now. This is crazy. Like, Barack just got hacked. Bill Gates got hacked. Like, all these.
He's been hacked.
Barack Obama, Bill Gates, Cash App, the app, Joe Biden. Who else got hacked? Somebody else got hacked. Elon Musk got hacked. Jeff Bezos got hacked. Apple, Uber, the list is going on. And they're all talking about send money. Like, this is a Bitcoin thing. Twitter shares are currently falling as the list of hacked accounts continues to grow. It literally looks like Kanye got hacked.
So did he actually end his presidential race, or was that the hack, you know?
Do what?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah, no. Mike Bloomberg got hacked. They got everybody, bro. And Warren Buffett.
Well, now I feel bad that I wasn't hacked.
How the hell do I change my password to make it stronger? I've already got so many different... I think they should just... Everybody's freaking out. Like, they think they should just shut Twitter down right now.
Go for it. Actually, I'd like to see the freak out whenever Twitter got back if they did that.
I'd actually
it's been offline for before.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see where old boy, the horse trainer, what's his name? Belfort?
I could not name you one horse trainer.
No, so. You know the guy who owns all the horses, though, that wins all the Louisville, damn it, the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont. He's Bob Baffert. Baffert, is that his name? Bear?
I have no idea.
Bob Baffert.
Come on, you know the guy's name.
Bob Baffert Horses is the first thing that pops up when I type
Thank
in Bob
you. That's
Baffert,
his name.
So.
The guy who's won all the Triple Crowns and his horses always win. Pretty much he had three of his horses test positive for steroids last week. So he's been suspended from tracks and races for
15 days.
15 days.
Yeah, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
But I wonder if they had to put down the horses that were doping.
No, they wouldn't put them down.
It's not a punishment for a horse. Hey, you've been doping. Bam!
No, you just can't let them race.
15 Del Mar jockeys have tested positive for COVID.
It's
like
a broken leg. It's not going to get better.
15 jockeys at Del Mar in Santa Anita.
Do they count those as kids catching the coronavirus?
Damn it, Davey. He just had to go there about things. All right, get out there. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish this SEC East talk up. We'll get Davey's opinion on why Tennessee's going to suck this year. And I look forward to
the last 15 years. What do you mean?
I look forward to it on the other side. Oh, breaking news on the way out. New Era has asked to be released from their sponsorship deal with the Buffalo Bills. That's big news. That's big news. We'll talk about that more on the other side. Drive.
The Drive.
I didn't know it either. I didn't know the Fox Sports Knoxville fan running. I didn't know that either, the New Era. They have a plant on Highway 43. It's on the way to Tuscaloosa, right when you pass Thomasville. There's a New Era plant right there. And they make all their hats and all that stuff. So they're trying to get out of a deal, Bear, with the Buffalo Bills. And Davey just brought it up. Davey, what did they say? What was their reasoning? Just because of COVID?
Well, COVID's the main thing whenever you're looking at the amount of just lost revenue NFL stadiums are going to have altogether. But apparently New Era, the last couple of years, it had been rough for them. And then with the impact of COVID, it has just put them in a situation to where I don't think they would even be able to pay the bills, like what they had negotiated to pay is what it's looking like. But, I mean, the Bills and New Era jointly put out a statement saying that they were looking to find a way to come to a separation. So
I think this is just going to be it's going to become more and more frequent. You know, you already saw Under Armour trying to get out of their deal with UCLA, which is was like $250 million they were on the hook for. And
yeah, that AD deserved a raise, even though he couldn't hire good coaches.
Yeah, I mean, just with whatever you want to call it, recession, depression that, you know, we're getting ready to enter into. Just money's going to be tight for a long time.
Especially the unemployment benefits are starting to dwindle, starting in 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah, so
it's going to suck for a lot of people, man. So we were talking about, we'll kind of wrap up the show with this. We were talking about scheduling and where Tennessee's at with the quarterback situation. I think Tennessee is a good enough football team with Jared Garantano leading them that they could go 9-3 this year. I'm curious. Bear thinks they can go 10-2. Davey's sitting at 8-4. But
yeah.
But I'm wondering, Davey.
Okay.
And Bear, get in on this thing here. You're saying they're going to lose all four of their big games and not have a signature win this year?
I'm going to put that as far as like what I lock in, but I honestly think they will win one of the four big ones and then lose one that they shouldn't. Because, I mean, last year they won two, or they lost two that they shouldn't. There's always been one that they've lost where it's like, all right, they should have won that.
So you're saying, so it's like, I'm just going to factor that. Missouri or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
he's going to have to try and avoid that. I mean, that's, you know, one thing that, you know, I mean, Fulmer never did until he did, and that really hastened his demise, was losing to teams that you shouldn't lose to.
I think it's pretty obvious Tennessee cannot lose to Charlotte or Troy this year. That's obvious.
Or Furman.
Well, they're not going to lose to Furman.
Furman only got beat by 7 to Georgia State last year.
Yeah, but they're not losing.
Yeah,
I think that line will probably be set around 26.5 when it's released.
I mean, they can't go losing Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. Those are and Vanderbilt and Kentucky are absolute.
They can't lose to Arkansas.
Where is that game at?
Arkansas,
Little Rock, or Fayetteville.
Fayetteville. Yeah, Felipe Franks.
Really?
Yep. He's your starting quarterback. Well, he will be. Yeah. Yep.
He's completely recovered from that god-awful injury last year.
Yeah, thank God that happened early for him in the season.
It'll be interesting to see what Pittman does with them. Yeah, you can't afford to lose to the bottom feeders in the league. So, I mean, it's like, then I think it ought to be part of the contract.
If Tennessee takes care of Arkansas, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, there's your four. Okay.
South Carolina.
And then, yeah, so I'll add in, I don't think South Carolina is going to be really good this year, but I'm going to use those four right now. Then you beat Charlotte, Furman, Troy. You're at seven wins right there. Beat South Carolina, you're at eight. Okay. And all you got to do is go beat one of the four. Beat one of the big four, Oklahoma, Florida,
Georgia. So you essentially have to close within three scores of where you were at last year. Like that's like I look at that and it's like, all right, you have in all your times you've played Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
Tennessee and Georgia tied at halftime?
No.
It was close.
I think the first quarter was close and then they just started to blow the doors up. Tennessee we had like two long plays to Callaway.
In the second quarter.
I'll look it up, but
I want to say Tennessee like maybe it was like a 7-point, 10-point game. I'm trying to think right off the top of my head. I know the Alabama-Tennessee game was pretty tight at halftime when Jeremy rolled with three timeouts and spoofed Alabama's kicker. Like Tennessee actually held close with most of these teams. In the first half, just kind of felt like things kind of went against them in the second half, and it is what it is. Young team, bad team, whatever you want to call it.
At halftime, it was 26-14 Georgia.
It's not bad. Didn't one of those they give away on a fumble recovery for a touchdown?
It wasn't a score, but I mean, it might have set them up for an easy score, but. I mean, they didn't have any defensive touchdowns.
I'm just saying, I think Tennessee has the ability on defense to be better. I don't see them losing two games in September, period. I think they're going to beat Florida or Oklahoma.
I think they'll be better, and that's why I said, like, my goal for them, like, I mean, obviously, yeah, I want them to win. I just, right now, I don't view it as realistic. I do view their front seven on defense as an issue whenever it comes to depth. I think their starters are good, but if one of those guys goes down, I have not seen anything like, I mean, J.J. Peterson's listed as your backup linebacker right now.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about J.J. Peterson.
So, like, I mean, that just goes to show you ain't got much depth there.
Jeremy Banks will be your backup linebacker.
He'll be on the inside.
Right. Well,
so,
yeah, I mean, I know. I'm just saying in general, in your linebacking core, you know, you'll try to move around different spots, get people comfortable.
But it's just like, man, like I want to close the gap. So it's like I need to see that gap close because last year it actually got bigger against Florida. Like you only got beat by 26 2 years ago. Last year you got beat by 31. And
who do you, okay. Bear, we're going to leave it at this, and I want your opinion. Who do you roll out there? If you're so hell-bent on JG's the worst damn quarterback in the world, he's not going to win you more than this, who you rolling out there, who you rolling into Norman with? Jerry Garantano or a kid that hadn't taken a snap in practice yet?
They're going to roll out there with Garantano.
I'm playing three quarterbacks in that game.
Three quarterbacks?
Yeah. Throwing for something they don't know. Yeah, like, I mean.
Maurer, Shrout, and JG.
There's no reason you're expected to win. Like, you just change everything up on them, make it weird. Like, go with what they're not going to expect because I'm telling you, your defense is going to have to play good because Spencer Rattler is going to light you up if you don't.
I'm going to drug test you after this to think how JT Shrout, Brian Auer, and JG are different than each other. All right, Bear, are we good here, buddy?
Yes, we are.
Tony V tomorrow. Have a great night with the kid, man. Appreciate you joining us, buddy.
See you, buddy.
All right, buddy. Have a good night. Davey, we're good. Thank you so much, man. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. And John, not that focusing. We appreciate it, man. We'll see y'all tomorrow with who we got? Patrick Brown from 247 Tennessee and Coach Tony Vitello will join us. Talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
The Drive.